we've been talking about the pursuit of happiness over the last few weeks. We talked about joy. Did I do that? That must have been me. So we were talking about joy last week, and we talked about what joy is. Today we're going to talk about gratefulness or thankfulness, but I just want to ask you like a question. You don't have to answer me, but I want you to think about it throughout your day, maybe throughout the week when you're doing your devotions and things like that. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? And I don't just mean when somebody does something for you. You see, it's great when people want to do stuff for you. We can be thankful and grateful when people do lots of stuff. Now, we need to be. That's when somebody does something for us, we should be grateful and we shouldn't expect it. And I know this sounds very elementary, but I don't know about you, but I've noticed in our society, I've noticed all over the place that I've been, people aren't thankful. They're not grateful. Man, it's tough enough for people to get out of their car and help somebody out in this winter evil snow, right? Like, you drive by, you're like, I'm not stopping. It's cold out there. It's wet and gross, and I'm going. Like, phew. Like we have trouble even doing that in our society. And you do see it occasionally. I'm not saying that all of society is dark and gloomy and, oh, you know, pack up your bags and move on. No, it's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that it's tough to find true thankfulness and gratefulness out there. Have you ever held a door for someone and they just walk right by you? Like, what? They should open the door for me. I'm special, right? Everywhere I walk, there's rose petals. I don't know if you've noticed. Yeah. So a lot of people do that. And you open the door and you're like, you're welcome. Hope you have a great day. Have a good one. And they don't even acknowledge you. You know, I think I pull that into the church. And I think worship teams, I think those that work behind the scenes, I think all those people that give their time, all these people are volunteers. Every Sunday they're volunteers. And they give their time. Are we grateful or thankful for them? Because we just show up and expect it to happen, right? Like most of the time. There's not too many days other than when there's a snowmageddon that you actually think people aren't going to show up. But most of the time, you come in, you grab your spot, your favorite seat. I could probably close my eyes and know exactly where you are right now. And that's okay. But we sit in our seat, we get our coffee, maybe we go in and get a snack. Get a little snack, a little sugar. A little sugar to get you through the morning, a little coffee, a little caffeine, a little addiction. And then come back, get our seat, and we just expect at 10 o'clock, or with some people, 10:02, the service starts. But these people have practiced during the week for free. They've come on Sunday morning early while you all slept in, got yourself all purdied up, and then came to church. And so, are we grateful? Now, I'm not trying to give I'm not trying to give you heck for anything, but what I am trying to say is, are we grateful for those things? Are you grateful in this cold weather when you go outside and your car starts? Yes, right? But you're like, you better start, right? We're not grateful, and then when it starts, we're like, oh, man. Like, are we super thankful for everything we do, wherever we go? When we go to the grocery store, do we have an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness for the people that are there? Yeah, maybe they're having a rough day and they're snotty or whatever, but you, being who you are, could be that person that changes their morning or their evening or their day because you had a heart of gratefulness and joy. Servers in restaurants. I hate sending stuff back. I can tell you a little story of my stubbornness about this. Michelle and I were at a conference, and I can't remember what restaurant it was, but I think it was Red Robin in Kelowna. But hey, who's naming names? Don't Yelp it. But we went in there, we sat down, and I ordered a burger, and I said they came, and there was mold on my bun. Now, some of you know me well, and some of you don't. But you might know that I don't like dirty things. I can handle like pretty much anything. In the fire department, I've seen a lot of gross stuff. I can deal with it. Blood, guts, that doesn't bother me. But gross food really disgusts me for whatever. And so when Michelle really wants to get at me, she'll show me pictures of babies with food all over their face. And she'll be like, if I'm being sassy with her, she'll be like, and I'm like, I get a gag reflex. It's not, I can't help it. It's just food grosses me out when it's on people's faces. And it doesn't matter if it's a baby, it doesn't matter if it's anybody else. I can't look at it. Have you ever had somebody with something in their teeth and it's right there? If you're with me and that happens, I won't look at you. I can't. It's not your fault, it's my fault. It's not you, it's me. Trust me on this one. And so if Michelle really wants to bother me, she'll take chocolate and rub it on her face. And I had to tell her the other day, I'm going to throw up. Right here in our kitchen, you got to stop doing this. And she's like, oh, okay, I stopped. I looked, I can't. And it's literally, and it's coming. But yet, I can do any emergency scene. I can see anything. I can deal with all that. Food, it's weird. But are we thankful? So anyways, this I got my bun. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not eating. And Michelle goes, what are you talking about? Send it back. I'm like, no. And she goes, are you insane? There's mold on your bun. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just take the bun off, I guess. I don't know, but I ain't sending this back. And she goes, I'll do it. It's like, whatever, man. I'm not having this conversation. I said, I don't think you should. She goes, why? I'm like, because he might spit in my burger in the back. And she goes, you've got problems. And I'm like, I don't want to bother the server. He was flustered. He was frustrated. Everything was going wrong. He was on fire angry. And he was a manager too, so he was really upset. So he came over, and I'm like, I don't really want this burger. Michelle goes, there's mold on his bun. We're really sorry to do this to you. And he, what? And I'm like, I'm dead. He's just going to, right into my, I know it's going to happen, right? And he's mad. And so he goes, there's some colorful words that came out of his mouth. I was like, whoa, yeah, all right. Shocking. Swore a few times. I'm like, is this my fault? Whose fault is this? So he grabs it, takes it back. And I'm like, I don't know if I can eat that burger that comes back, Michelle. He's mad. He's ripping mad, like swearing mad. He's going to spit my burger. Somebody's going to hork in it. Somebody's going to do something. I can't handle this. It comes back, and I think it was a PTSD moment because I don't think I ate it. I don't remember anything after it coming back, so I don't think I touched it. It was a horrible event. But I was grateful for that server, and I tell you all this because he had a bad day. And I talked to him, and I said, hey, look, I am no way trying to make your day rougher. And he goes, and I said, so, you know, don't stress out about us. Don't worry. I'm easy. I just never eat again. Don't worry about it. But don't, and he goes, I really appreciate that. Thank you, because everyone else is on me. And he's the manager, and he said, two people called in sick, blah, blah, blah. He was behind. And so I was like, and you know what? I said, I'm just happy. You know, I'll take a soda water. I'm thrilled. Just don't spit in that. And I'll have it. See, we all have these ideas, right, of these, and so we're not grateful. But we also like to be in control, right? A lot of times we like to be in control. And this is where our scripture is today. It's in Genesis 3:1-7. And I know it's, you know, you've probably all heard it, but we're going to do it anyways. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did he really say that? I don't know. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. So you will certainly not, or you will not certainly die. Like, really? Is it that bad? I don't think it's that bad. The serpent says to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, we could go into where we blame women for everything, but we're not going to do that today. That's a joke, ladies. All right. You were the first to be tempted. I understand. It's a tough one. Anyways, then the eyes of both of them were opened. After the woman gave the man, wink, wink, the apple, their eyes were open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So, unlike Adam and Eve, we must trust God's authority. We must trust what he says to us in our lives instead of trying to take his place. Too many times in our lives, we want to be in charge. We want to be in charge. And we like being in control. How many like being out of control in this room? Raise your hand. You just want everything to be chaos and chaotic. Yeah, no, you don't. You like things to go a certain way, right? We all want that. But if somebody doesn't tell you something, how do you feel? You feel like you need to know, right? Well, it's there. Why can't I touch it? Why can't I have it? It goes back to our childhood. Mom just made all these cookies, and then she baked them. The house smells incredible. Puts them in the cookie jar, specific jar. Nothing else goes in there, just cookies. So you can smell cookies. You know there's going to be cookies in the cookie jar. But she says, you can't have one till after dinner. But why? They're right there. They're in the cookie jar. What's the big deal? Well, you'll ruin your dinner. So what? I feel like I want, and we don't like being in control. And ever since then, why do you think two-year-olds have temper tantrums? Because they want control. They don't know what they're doing, but they want control of it. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And so we need to understand that God puts things in place for us to protect us for a reason. And we need to be thankful for that when he does that and not stomp our feet and say, well, I want a cookie now. Because that's all we can see. We get tunnel visioned, right? So when you try to take control of your life, you're actually losing control of it. You actually have no control. You think you do, but you don't. If God is the God of creation, the God of the universe, he has everything under control, including you. So if you give it over to him, he's got it in control. So when you take control from God, you actually have no control. But you think you do because you have it in your hand. But you actually don't. You can't control anything. So the fall of Adam and Eve started with pride, and it started with lusting after what they couldn't have. And we're like that. And so we get used to what we have. We don't want what we have. We want what we don't have and what we don't know. And that's where they came. And it's very similar. God gave them everything. Everything except that one tree. That one tree. If God said to you, you can have anything in the world, but you need to stay away from this one thing, what does that do? Let's put it this way. When we bake those cookies for our children and we tell them, you can have anything else, you can have carrot, come on, you can have celery, you can have anything you want. You can have an apple, but you can't have that cookie. What do they want? I want a cookie. We're the same. We pull that into our lives every day. I deserve it. I've earned it. Well, maybe in some cases. So the desire for what they didn't have outweighed their thankfulness for what they had right then, for what they possessed already. Everything in the garden, except this one shiny object in the middle, and they couldn't handle that. Now, I'm not saying we'd be any different, because you're like, well, how could it be that bad? It's shiny, it looks good. Why don't I go over there? So the serpent in this particular scripture, which is Satan, is the direct opposite of humanity and thankfulness. So what he's saying is, sorry, humility and thankfulness. What he's saying is, you know what? He wanted to be He didn't want to just be an angel. He wanted to be God. He wasn't satisfied with just that. He wanted more power. So for him, it was power and control. For us, it may be something else. It could be anything. But in this situation, for him, it was control and power. And for them, it was, what do you mean we can't have that? So it was, we're not grateful for everything we have. So it was ungratefulness. And so even to this day, we are still the same. In everything we do, we tend to think that we deserve it. And so to get to the whole point of why we do this, the reason that we want or desire is because of pleasure, okay? That could be physical, could be mental, could be power, could be money, it could be anything. We feel good about something so much that we desire it, and so we want it, okay? Various people do many a different things to get pleasure, whether it's money, whether it's power, love, relationships, it can be any of those things. And the mind is always looking to seek pleasure. We like it. It's a chemical reaction. I didn't want to get into the whole mind thing and how the mind creates it. You've probably heard that a million times, but our mind is chemically based. And when things are good, when we desire something or feel good about something, we want more of it, right? We want more of that. That's where addiction and all that kind of can go in a really bad way, because we keep craving it. And so pleasure is found in external things. It's always a form of self-satisfaction because we want to feel good. And so because of that, the mind feels happy with possessions outside, with the things that are outside of it. And so I want this, I want that, I want that. Anything that it can't control, it wants, right? It wants. And so this isn't saying, so we get normal, things become average. How many times do you walk into your same house all the time? Everything's the same. You get into the same car and all that. Yet somebody else says to you, I really like your car. And you're like, what? That thing? How many times does that happen? Or I like your house, or I like your this, or I like your that. And you're like, what? That? And you're just so used to seeing it. You get familiar. And it just becomes normal. That's your normal thing. It's no big deal. Well, when 9 out of 10 people don't have that, it's a big deal to them. And so we have this mindset, right? And we want excitement, what we want. We want that feeling of excitement. How many have ever been feeling blue? And you're like, you know what? We're going to go shopping. And you go, and you know, I'm not ashamed of this. I like shoes, okay? I don't mind going shoe shopping. I don't mind going to a shoe store, buy a good pair of shoes. Feels real good, yeah? Some of you might be something else. Some of it may be car stuff. Some of it might be, I don't know, maybe like computers, maybe whatever it is that your go-to is that feels good, you'll go and you do that. And when you do it, oh, that feels good, right? Because you're looking for excitement, that self-satisfying thing inside of us, and we do that all the time. Now, that's not saying that, you know, everything that we do is going to be destructive. But throughout the Old Testament, God talks about thanksgiving and gratitude. There's all sorts of psalms that talk about thanking him, even in times of trouble. And he wants us to focus on that. So how can we guard against the lack of appreciation? How can we guard against just everything being average and normal and not being thankful for it and move towards thankfulness? So I don't want to say to you today that lack of appreciation is going to be something that's going to, you know, take you down a path of destruction, because it's not always going to be the case. But we all have times when we are just not grateful, right? We've all been there. But we should be thinking most of the time. We should be grateful and thankful, and we should be thinking about that. So we don't want to point in a direction that is unhealthy, that will lead to destruction. So instead of pointing to ungratefulness, point to thankfulness, point to God, and thank him for what's going on in your life, right? And so we can guard against a lack of appreciation and move towards choosing an attitude of thankfulness. Remember last week, if you were here, I said we choose an attitude of joy. It's not a weird wacky, goofball-y thing where you're running around, you know, acting silly. But we're choosing to have joy throughout our trials because we know God has something in store, something in control. And it's not pushing it off, but if he's truly in control, we can give it him because we know the best is what he wants for us. And so we choose an attitude of thankfulness. How can we do that? Well, it's a choice. That's it. It's a choice. And too many times in our lives, we don't make that choice. Why? Because we're at war. And we can go into Romans and talk about how we're at war with ourselves and the old nature and the new nature. But I'm telling you, we battle it all the time. And it's a choice. And so we need to make that choice. So we need to choose, first of all, be thankful in the hard times. It is not fun to go through difficult times. It is not fun. That's really all I need to say. You know it, and I know it. And it's difficult to be thankful when we're in those hard times. We're in the low. When we're in the low. But when we're in those difficult times and we focus on him, on Jesus, what he's done for us, we will have a better attitude of thankfulness. You see, here's this scripture. James 1 verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way." Okay, so now from this point on, you all know that no matter what anyone says to you, just because you become a Christian or believe in God, you will have troubles. When they come your way. Not, you know, if you happen to have a problem or, you know, if you believe in God enough and have a strong enough faith, they won't come your way. But, you know, no. When trouble comes your way. When it's coming. Might not be right now. Maybe you went through it already. Maybe you've already gone through it. It'll come again. It always will. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Guess what? Considering it means I have to mentally prepare myself. I have to make a choice whether or not I'm going to be grateful, whether or not I'm going to have a joy throughout each struggle. And we talked about the difference between what a struggle was and what being persecuted for your beliefs is. They're completely different, okay? When we get persecuted for our beliefs, and most of the time in Scripture, when it's talking about being persecuted, it's because you stood up for Jesus and everyone's beating on you. That's persecution. That's a trial. When you're going through difficult times, that's different. That is life because we are human. Other people are human. Everyone makes mistakes and things happen. We are in a fallen world. Trouble will come our way. But it's saying when trouble comes, and that could be a trial because you're being persecuted, or it could be just life because you're going through a hard time. When it comes, consider it, think and choose joy, gratefulness. It's being given to you. You say you don't have control. You've just been handed that. You can choose to serve God. You've got control. But you said, "I don't have control." You do. God's giving you control to choose him. And until we make that decision, we'll never be grateful. We'll never be thankful. We'll always be fighting and battling, and it's a tug of war. And guess what? Have you ever been in a tug of war? Remember in school you do a tug of war? Okay, you always know the biggest person on the team that goes to the back and ties that thing around, and if you look at your team and you're all tiny and it's not going to happen, guess what? You know they're going to win, right? He's going to win. God's going to win. He's the big guy in the back just going, "I'm going to win." So just let go. Let go. Anyways, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I have to do this. I'm on this new workout program. It really hurts. I'm sorry. I'm really stiff. It's killing me. Oh, okay. I had to do that. Thank you. Thanks for taking 2 seconds for me. All right. So choose and consider. So you have a choice. You do have a choice. And we talked about last week, too, that joy isn't the opposite of trouble. It's a choice. And again, I highlight these things in yellow so you realize, is he trying to say something? Yeah, it's a choice. And you can have joy despite what's going on around you, okay? So you can choose joy in the middle of a broken family. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm going to tell you straight up. I come from a broken family. What can I say? You can choose to have joy through that. It's horrible. It's not fun to go through. There was all sorts of abuse in ours. But you can choose to wallow in those things, whether it's a broken family or whatever, or you can rise above it, and you can ask God to walk you through it. Don't allow somebody else's decisions to affect your relationship with God, no matter what they believed. No matter what they believed. Maybe they were the worst Christian in the world. And by the way, there's lots of them. Maybe they were. And they just had trouble and they struggled. You know, I'm actually very thankful. And until I came to this point, I struggled for years. I'm actually thankful for my childhood, as horrible as it was, because it made me who I am. And I'm okay with that. Now, some of you may not. You're like, well, we're not okay with that, but that's all right. I'll grow on you. The point is, I wasn't willing to stay in that. I was ready to break the chains. I wasn't going to stay in that cycle of abuse. I wasn't going to stay in that dysfunction. And so that created me to be really driven. And then that creates a whole bunch of other problems, by the way. So that's an issue, but it does. So you can choose to have joy and thankfulness and gratefulness in that. You can have it in memories of a painful childhood, right, no matter what that is, as we just talked about, or even in your own health right now. Maybe you have an illness that's not getting better. You can be that example to those around, and people can come around you and support you. And again, this doesn't mean you're always up and like happy and oh, yeah. No, it's not that. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we believe that the Holy Spirit moves and he speaks to us, but if we tap into him, I'm telling you right now, he'll be able to bring you to full happiness and to true thankfulness. When you have the Holy Spirit, that's that little voice. If you're not knowing what I'm meaning, it's that little voice in the back that God is speaking to you. It's that heart. When God speaks to me, I get this pounding in my chest. I could be sitting anywhere doing anything, and when God speaks to me, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa! And it's not arrhythmia. Okay, I had that checked. It's none of that. It's definitely the Holy Spirit, because there are times when he's told me to do certain things and I'm like, no, I'm not. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh. And until I give in, as soon as I give in, it goes back to normal. And I'm like, all right, I know you're speaking to me. I mean, it's very black and white. It's very clear. For you, it might be something else. But when God is speaking to you, he can help you have a spirit of thankfulness. So how can we guard against the lack of appreciation, move towards choosing an attitude of thankfulness? One, be thankful through the hard times in life. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going to go through, you need to be thankful for your life. And it doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean those things are just, well, it's fine, that's the way it is. No, be better. Do better. Choose to be better by accepting who you are, recognizing what you need to do to improve on, and moving forward, okay? And instead of just sitting and wallowing in your own negativity. So be thankful, okay? Thankful for all sorts of things in life, but definitely thankful for hard times. Because guess what? The more you go through, the more you're able to help others that are struggling going through other things as well. And so be thankful for people in your life. We take for granted people in our lives. Have you ever had those people that tell you the truth? They do it nice, but they tell you the truth. They're there. We've become so self-oriented. We've become so focused that in our own struggles, we can be selfish. We get lost in our struggles. And it's usually a comment like, do you not know what I'm going through? That's usually the comment, because we're so stuck. And it's like, maybe there's a case for that. Maybe they don't know. But what I'm saying is, when that's always the pattern, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand. And meanwhile, they're there through thick and thin. They're supporting you. They're with you. We got to be thankful for people in our lives. Be because they'll be gone. And when they're gone, they're gone. And I'm telling you right now, you learn to appreciate people more and more. The older you get, the more you see sicknesses, the more things that happen in people's lives. But those people that are always there can be ignored because they're always there. And sometimes we're always thinking about that person over there when there's somebody already right here. We're like, yeah, but we want attention from that person, but there's someone right here already giving you. Be thankful for those people that are in, that they're day in and day out. Be thankful for those people in your lives. Don't let struggles cause that. We get so focused on our challenge, on things that are going on in our lives, that the people that challenge us, the people that support us, the people that care for us, the people we have fun with, we just forget. It's kind of like I said, you can walk in every day. You get up, you go to your house, you go to your car, you do your things. It's the same all the time. It's normal. It just becomes normal. You start to not appreciate it anymore. Let's start to appreciate those things. So how can we guard against that? Well, be thankful for people in our lives. Choose an attitude towards thankfulness. How can we do that? Be thankful for the people and be thankful that God loves you. It sounds simple, but we forget how much he loves us. We forget. John 3:16, come on, you've seen it in every football game in the universe, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We read it and see it and go, oh yeah, there it is again, John 3:16. You know, it's like, oh yeah, normal. Yeah, God died for us. That's the one they teach you in Sunday school. Bible college, you got to know that one. You can't have your credentials if you don't know this one. Sorry. Jesus has done so much for us. We forget. We can read this book. And as we go through it, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Oh yeah, I've seen that before. Oh yeah, I've seen that before. That was a good story. And we just thumb through it like with no awe, with no wow factor. We don't run to it like it's the book of life. Just saying. Romans 6:22 says this, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. We have been given something incredible. So what can we do practically with this gift that we've been given that we're not always thankful for? Because you know what happens in church? We're not always thankful for God because of sometimes people in church. Sometimes people bug us. Sometimes we can be sick of those people that we see every Sunday or a Bible study or both. And we can get irritated. But they're there. They're always there. Yeah, maybe you don't always get along or you say something that's not always, you know, whatever. But they're always there. We're not really thankful for them. Just like the people that prepare the music, just like the people that prepare the coffee in the back. We just expect there to be, there's no goodies today. What, somebody's arms fall off? What happened? It's like, well, did you bake anything? No, I don't think so. The coffee's not hot. It's been 14 hours since 9 o'clock last night. Why isn't the coffee hot? Well, did you plug it in? Did you come early and set it up? It takes time to percolate, people. So these are the things that we just take for granted all the time. And I'm just throwing stuff out there just for fun. But this is what happens. What? This didn't happen? That didn't happen? Ooh, are you doing it? No. Well, step up or zip up. Because guess what? There are a lot of people that are making things happen. We got to be thankful for it. Have you ever thanked a police officer? You know why they're so grumpy whenever you see them? They deal with dummies all the time. All the time. So when they come up, they're like, here's another dummy. Don't be that guy or gal. Don't be that person. Be thankful for them. I always try to crack a joke with police officers. And then, of course, I bug them, but that's a whole other story, other side of the thing. But I'm telling you, be thankful. Anybody thank the snowplow guy? Yeah, no, you didn't. Because we're all like, why aren't these roads done? I was out at 3 a.m. in the morning on a rollover on 200th Street, and I'm like, where are the townies? Where are these people? Wake them up and let's plow this road. I don't want to be out here at 3 a.m. in the morning. It's snowing. Does anyone notice? Plow this thing. This thing should be dry. We're all like that. We get that way. And then when they're done, you're like, finally, did your job, right? We don't go, thank you for getting up and doing this. Yeah, they're getting paid incredibly. Don't think they're not. But we don't thank them because they didn't do it. Or there's this recent thing in the news. Somebody was, actually all of Ontario, I believe it was alerted to a child abduction. They were woken up from a text, an Amber Alert, and they were angry. You know, see, I can't say what I really think right now, so I'm going to try and make it real nice. That's ridiculous. That's all right. That's okay. All right. If I got woken up by an Amber Alert, I'm not going to be mad because a child has been abducted. This is ridiculous. This is where society has gone, people. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then, to top that all off, the child was murdered by the father. Really? We're going to be upset over an Amber Alert? These are the things we have to be careful about. So what can we do practically? Very quickly, it's super simple. This is what I want you to do. And honestly, it sounds silly. I'm not much of a journaling person. I'm getting better at it. I don't like it. But it's actually good for you. But this is all I want you to do. I want you to go home, and I want you to write out what you're thankful for this week. But I really want you to think about it. Don't just, like, write a bunch of stuff down and waste time. Actually think what you're thankful for, what you see day in and day out, and what you are grateful for, things that you miss to be thankful for. I can tell you right now, everyone here is in excess of material possessions for sure, compared to many around the world. So forget material possessions. I'm talking about just, what are you thankful? Are you thankful for those relationships in your life? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? Are you thankful that you live in this country? I'm thankful I live in this country right now. Think about it. Write it down. Look at it. When you write it down, there's a few things that happen. One is you recognize, oh, am I that shallow? Secondly, you go, I have a lot of things here I can be thankful for. And you really need to do it. And then you really start to think. Just start writing down stuff that you're thankful for. And then when it starts to get difficult, that's when you stick to. Don't stop. Stick to it. Go for it. And then throughout the week, recognize new things that you're thankful for. Be thankful for those things. You know, that's all I ask of you to do this week. And then what I would be awesome is if you would tell somebody after that what you're thankful for and tell them what it did for you this week. I promise you, as you go through the week, you'll start to see things you didn't see before because you're actually looking. And you can be thankful for them. Let's pray. Father, thank you.